All right, so today we're diving into business email lists. Now, I know that might not sound like the most thrilling topic at first glance, but trust me, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, especially when you dig into this in-depth guide from Reach Marketing. It came out just yesterday, February 25th, 2025. And I gotta say, I was kind of surprised by how much this guide got me thinking. Like, did you know that email marketing can have an ROI of up to 36 to 1? That's huge. So whether you're already a marketing pro or you're just starting to build your business, this deep dive is going to give you some serious actionable insights. We're going to unlock the secrets to building an email list that actually performs. Plus, we'll figure out how to navigate the, well, kind of complicated world of data privacy.
You know, one of the things that makes email so powerful is that it gives you a direct line to your audience. In a world where social media algorithms kind of control what people see, having your own email list is like a guaranteed way to reach people who are actually interested in what you have to offer.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the guide really hammered home that point about the ROI. Up to $36 back for every dollar you spend. It's pretty wild when you compare that to social media, where it feels like you're constantly guessing what the algorithm wants.
Yeah, exactly. With an email list, you're building relationships with your audience. Relationships that can actually last for years.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty. How do we actually build one of these awesome email lists?
The guide starts with talking about opt-in forms, and they really emphasize keeping things simple.
Right. You don't want to overwhelm people with a ton of questions right off the bat. Just ask for the essentials. Usually a name and an email address are enough to get started. You can always get more information later on.
So no need to scare people away with a super long form.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of opt-in forms, don't underestimate the power of that headline. It needs to be compelling. Tell people exactly what they're going to get by subscribing. Are they going to get exclusive tips, early access to sales? Make it crystal clear why they should hand over their email address. Yeah, that makes total sense. I've definitely seen some opt-in forms that are just like, subscribe to our newsletter. And I'm always like, oh, why would I do that? But if it said something like, get our weekly insider secrets on growing your business, that would be way more tempting.
Exactly. You got to highlight the benefits, make the reader feel like they're getting something special.
Okay, now let's talk about lead magnets. These are the freebies you offer to entice people to sign up, right?
Exactly. And there are so many options out there. Ebooks, cheat sheets, discount codes, webinars, templates. The list goes on.
So many choices. The guide lists a bunch of examples. But are there any types of lead magnets that tend to perform better than others?
The most important thing is that the lead magnet is relevant to your audience and actually solves a specific problem they're facing. So, for example, if you're targeting new business owners, a checklist for launching a website could be a really effective lead magnet.
That makes sense. It's all about giving them something valuable right away, something that connects to their needs.
Precisely. A really targeted lead magnet can seriously boost your opt-in rates.
Speaking of targeted, the guide mentions these things called content upgrades. What are those?
So content upgrades are lead magnets that are super specific to a particular piece of content. For example, let's say you have a blog post about the top 10 marketing tools. Your content upgrade could be a downloadable PDF, maybe a comparison chart of all those tools.
Oh, I see. So it's like an extra bonus that goes along with the content they're already looking at?
Exactly. And it's really effective because it's so closely related to what they're already interested in.
So it's all about offering the right content at just the right moment. Now let's talk about segmentation. This seems like a big deal in email marketing.
Segmentation is absolutely crucial. It's about dividing your email list into smaller groups based on, you know, shared characteristics. This allows you to send super targeted emails that are more likely to resonate with each individual subscriber.
I get it. That makes a lot more sense than just blasting out the same email to everyone on your list. But how do you decide how to segment your list?
You can segment based on demographics, behavior, interests, purchase history, really any data you collect.
So if someone has shown interest in a particular product, I can send them emails specifically about that product.
Precisely. You can really tailor your messages to their specific needs and interests. And, you know, the more relevant your emails are, the more likely people are to open them, click through, and ultimately buy something.
This is starting to sound a lot more sophisticated than just sending out a monthly newsletter.
It definitely can be. And that's where the magic of automation comes in.
Ooh, tell me more about automation.
So imagine this. You set up a system where when someone joins your list, they automatically get a series of welcome emails. These emails introduce them to your brand and what you offer. Or let's say someone abandons their cart on your website. they could automatically get a reminder email with a special offer to encourage them to come back and finish their purchase.
So it's like having a virtual assistant taking care of all the repetitive tasks for you.
Exactly. Automation saves you a ton of time, and it makes sure your subscribers are getting timely and relevant messages.
That sounds incredibly helpful. But with all this talk about collecting data and sending targeted emails, I got to ask about data privacy. There are so many regulations these days, GDPR, can't spam, and who knows what else.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Data privacy is super important. And while all these regulations can feel kind of overwhelming, they really boil down to a few key principles. Obtain consent, provide easy unsubscribe options, and be mindful of how much data you're collecting.
So it's all about being transparent with your subscribers and respecting their privacy.
Absolutely. You want to build trust, not erode it. And that means being upfront about how you're using their data and giving them control over their communication preferences.
Okay, that makes sense. It's not just about following the rules. It's about doing the right thing.
Exactly. And when you handle data responsibly, you actually build a stronger relationship with your audience.
So we've talked about building our list, segmenting it, and respecting data privacy. What about the actual tools we need to send these emails? The guide mentions a bunch of different categories, ESPs, CRMs, SMTP services. It's a bit much.
It can be, but let's break it down. ESPs, or email service providers, are the platforms you use to send bulk emails. Think MailChimp, Constant Contact, those kind of companies.
Got it. So that's where I actually create and send the email.
Exactly. They offer a bunch of features: designing emails, managing lists, tracking results, automating campaigns. Then you have CRMs, or customer relationship management systems. Those are more focused on managing all your customer interactions.
So if I'm already using a CRM, do I still need a separate ESP?
A lot of CRMs have some basic email marketing functions built in, but they might not be as robust as a dedicated ESP.
Okay, I see. And what about those SMTP services? The guide mentions those too.
SMTP stands for Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. It's basically the technical standard for sending and receiving emails.
Oh, okay. So it's like the behind-the-scenes tech that makes email work.
Exactly. Most ESPs will handle SMTP for you. But there are also some standalone SMTP services out there. You can use those if you need more control over your email delivery.
It sounds like there's a tool for every need and level of expertise. How do I know which one's right for me?
That's a great question. It really depends on a few things. The size of your list, your budget, the features you need.
So if I'm just starting out, maybe a simple ESP would be a good place to begin.
Exactly. And then as your business grows, you can always explore more advanced tools and integrations.
All right, that makes sense. I'm starting to feel a bit more confident about navigating this whole world of email marketing tools.
That's great. And remember, the best tool is always the one that helps you reach your specific goals.
Now, let's talk about the fun stuff, personalization and automation. The guide mentions using dynamic content to tailor emails based on someone's location or their past purchases. That sounds super cool.
It is pretty cool. Imagine sending an email showcasing products that are directly related to someone's previous purchases, or tailoring the content based on where they're located.
I can see how that would make emails a lot more engaging. Are there other ways to personalize emails too?
Oh, definitely. Even using merge tags to address people by name can make a big difference. It's a simple thing, but it adds a nice personal touch.
It's funny how something as simple as using someone's name can have such a big impact.
It really can. It shows that you're paying attention, that you see them as an individual.
Okay, so personalization is all about making people feel like they're not just another number on a list. What about automation? How can we use that to our advantage?
Automation is all about streamlining your email marketing and making sure the right messages are being sent at the right time.
So less manual work for me and a better experience for my subscribers.
Exactly. And the possibilities are pretty much endless. You can set up welcome email series, abandoned cart reminders, birthday emails, post-purchase follow-ups, you name it.
I'm starting to see how automation can really take things to the next level.
It really can. It's like having a whole team of email marketing experts working for you 24/7.
That sounds amazing. So we've covered a lot of ground here. Building our list, segmenting it, respecting data privacy, using the right tools, and tapping into the power of personalization and automation. Is there anything else we need to know about creating a truly successful email marketing strategy?
There's always more to learn, but those are definitely the core foundations. Now let's dive into some more specific tactics and techniques, the things that can really help you get the most out of your email list. One tactic I find particularly interesting is using triggered emails. You know, those emails that are automatically sent based on something specific a subscriber does.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard of those. Like when you sign up for a website and you instantly get that welcome email.
Exactly. That's a classic example. But triggered emails can do so much more than just welcome messages. You can use them for all sorts of things. Let's say someone makes a purchase or downloads a lead magnet. Maybe they click a specific link in an email or even just browse certain pages on your website. You can set up triggered emails for all those actions.
So what you're saying is we could use triggered emails to create a more personalized experience.
Right.
Something that feels more responsive to our subscribers.
Exactly. Imagine someone puts items in their cart on your website, but they don't actually finish the purchase. You can have a triggered email sent to them automatically, just a gentle reminder. Maybe even throw in a discount code to encourage them to come back and buy.
That's a really smart way to recover some of those lost sales. I know I've definitely been tempted to buy something after getting one of those abandoned cart emails.
It's a tried and true tactic, and you can get even more creative with it. For example, let's say someone downloads a lead magnet, something about social media marketing. You could set up a whole series of triggered emails that give them more tips and resources on that topic over time. It's a way to nurture them towards becoming a paying customer.
So it's like you're anticipating their needs and giving them helpful information at just the right time.
Exactly. And when it's done well, it feels less like marketing and more like helpful guidance.
This is making me realize how much strategy really goes into email marketing. It's not just about sending random emails out into the void. It's about creating a carefully planned sequence of messages that guides people through their journey with your brand.
I love that way of putting it. And while triggered emails are great for automating certain parts of your communication, you also need to think about your regular email broadcasts, things like newsletters or promotional campaigns.
Right. Those are the emails that go out to everyone on your list, or at least a large portion of it.
Exactly. And that's where drip campaigns come in. A drip campaign is basically a series of emails that get sent out automatically over a period of time.
So instead of just one massive email blast, you spread the content out over multiple emails.
Precisely. And there are a few benefits to doing it this way. First, it keeps your subscribers from feeling overwhelmed with information all at once. Second, it lets you tell a story over time. You can gradually build up interest and anticipation. And third, it helps you stay top of mind without being too pushy.
I like that idea of telling a story through email. It feels a lot more engaging than just a sales pitch.
Exactly. Think of each email as a chapter in a book. You want to keep people interested and wanting more.
That makes sense. So when we're putting together a drip campaign, we need to think about the overall story we're trying to tell and how each individual email fits into that bigger picture.
Absolutely. You also want to consider how often you're sending those emails. How often do you want to be popping into your subscribers' inboxes?
That's a good question. How often is too often?
It really depends on your audience and the type of content you're sending. Some people might be fine with daily emails. Others might prefer a weekly or even monthly email.
So it's about finding that balance, right? Where you're providing value without overwhelming people.
Exactly. And the best way to find that balance is to experiment and track your results.
Okay, so we've talked about triggered emails and drip campaigns. What other tactics are there?
Well, another crucial aspect of email marketing is list hygiene.
List hygiene. That sounds kind of clinical.
It might sound that way, but it's super important for maintaining a healthy and engaged email list. It's all about keeping your list clean and up to date.
Okay, so what does that actually involve?
It involves things like managing bounces, handling unsubscribes gracefully, and regularly cleaning out inactive subscribers.
Bounces. You mean when an email doesn't get delivered?
Exactly. There are two types of bounces, soft bounces and hard bounces.
Okay, what's the difference?
A soft bounce is just a temporary glitch. It could be something like a full inbox or a temporary issue with the recipient's server. But a hard bounce, that's a permanent failure, usually because the email address is invalid or doesn't exist anymore.
So if I get a hard bounce, I should just remove that email address from my list.
Absolutely. If you have too many hard bounces, it can damage your sender reputation. And that makes it harder to get your emails delivered in the future.
That makes sense. It's like getting a bad credit score, but with email providers.
Exactly. And while we're on the topic of reputation, it's important to handle unsubscribes the right way, too.
You mean no guilt tripping people for leaving?
Exactly. Make it easy for people to unsubscribe if they want to. No hard feelings. You might even consider including a little feedback form. Ask them why they're unsubscribing. It can give you some valuable insight into how to improve your email marketing.
That's a good idea. It's definitely better to know why someone's leaving than to just be left wondering. So managing bounces and unsubscribes, that's all part of good list hygiene. What about those inactive subscribers? What do we do with them?
Inactive subscribers are the people who haven't engaged with your emails in a while. Maybe they haven't opened or clicked on anything in the past few months, or haven't made any purchases.
I have to admit, I have a few newsletters in my inbox that I haven't opened in ages.
It happens. But as an email marketer, you need to address those inactive subscribers. It doesn't make sense to keep sending them emails if they're not interested.
So should we just delete them from our list?
Not necessarily right away. You can try sending them a re-engagement campaign first.
What's a re-engagement campaign?
It's a series of emails specifically designed to get those inactive subscribers interested again. You can offer them a special discount, remind them about what makes you valuable, or even just ask them to update their preferences so you can send them more relevant stuff.
So it's like giving them a second chance to fall in love with your brand.
Exactly. And if they still don't bite after a re-engagement campaign, then it might be time to say goodbye.
Okay, that makes sense. It's about respecting their wishes and keeping your list tidy. Wow, this is making me realize that there's a lot more to email marketing than I thought. It's not just about writing catchy subject lines and hitting the send button. It's about building real relationships, segmenting your audience, automating your processes, and making sure your list is healthy.
You got it. And it's also about analyzing your results and constantly tweaking your campaigns to make them better.
Right, data. We haven't even talked about that yet. The guide mentions all these different metrics we should be tracking. Can you walk me through those?
Absolutely. Data is essential for understanding what's working and what's not in your email marketing. It helps you make smart decisions and get better results over time.
So what are the key metrics we should be paying attention to?
Some of the most important ones are open rate, click-through rate, conversion rate, bounce rate, unsubscribe rate, and spam complaints.
Okay, that's a lot of rates. Can you break those down a little bit?
Sure. Open rate is simply the percentage of people who open your emails. It gives you a sense of how good your subject lines are at grabbing attention. Click-through rate is the percentage of people who actually click a link in your email. This tells you how engaging your content is and how well your calls to action are working. And then conversion rate, that's the percentage of people who do something specific after clicking a link, like making a purchase or signing up for a webinar.
So those metrics are all about seeing how effective our emails are at getting people to actually take action.
Exactly. Then you have bounce rate, which is the percentage of emails that didn't get delivered. We already talked about the difference between soft bounces and hard bounces. Unsubscribe rate is the percentage of people who unsubscribe from your list. And spam complaints, that's how many people report your emails as spam.
Okay, so those last three are more about the overall health of our list and our sender reputation.
Exactly. If those numbers are too high, it could be a sign that something needs to be fixed.
I'm starting to see how all these metrics fit together. They give us a complete picture of how our email marketing is doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it can feel kind of overwhelming. You know, there's so much data to track. Any tips on how to make sense of it all?
The key is to focus on the metrics that actually matter for your goals.
So if my main goal is to increase sales, I should be paying extra attention to my conversion rate.
Exactly. And luckily, there are a ton of email marketing tools and analytics platforms out there. They can help you track these metrics and even generate reports that make the data easier to understand.
It sounds like data analysis can be a really powerful tool for email marketers.
It definitely is. It helps you make smarter decisions, optimize your campaigns, and ultimately achieve better results.
So it's not just about sending emails.
Right.
It's about sending the right emails to the right people at the right time, and then using data to make those emails even better.
You got it. It's where the art and science of email marketing come together.
Speaking of science, the guide mentions something called A/B testing. What is that exactly?
A/B testing is a way to compare two different versions of an email. It helps you figure out which one performs better.
So you basically send out two versions of the same email and see which one gets a better response.
Exactly. You can test all sorts of things: subject lines, calls to action, images, even the layout of the email itself.
That's interesting. So we could test two different subject lines to see which one gets more people to open the email.
Precisely. And by doing this kind of testing regularly, you can gradually make your email marketing more effective over time.
This is making me realize that email marketing is a lot more nuanced and strategic than I initially thought. There's so much to think about. Building your list, segmenting it, writing engaging content, automating things, analyzing your data.
You're absolutely right. It's a multifaceted discipline. It requires a good mix of creativity, technical skills, and analytical thinking.
Okay, so we've covered triggered emails, drip campaigns, list hygiene, data analysis, and A/B testing. Is there anything else we should keep in mind as we build our email marketing strategy?
Well, one crucial thing we haven't talked about yet is mobile optimization.
Oh, right. It seems like everyone's on their phones these days.
Exactly. So you really got to make sure your emails look great and work perfectly on mobile devices.
What are some things we can do to optimize our emails for mobile?
There are a few key things to keep in mind. First, use a responsive email template. That means it will automatically adjust to different screen sizes.
So no matter what device someone's using, the email will look good.
Exactly. Second, keep your subject line short and to the point. People are more likely to just skim subject lines on their phones, so make sure your message is clear and concise.
Makes sense. Short and sweet subject lines are a good idea anyway.
Absolutely. And third, make sure your calls to action are easy to see and tap with a finger.
So bigger buttons and clear links.
Exactly. You want to make it as easy as possible for people to take action on their phones.
Okay, mobile optimization is definitely on my radar now. Anything else?
Another debate that comes up a lot in email marketing is plain text versus HTML emails.
I've seen both kinds. What are the pros and cons of each?
So plain text emails are exactly what they sound like, just plain text. No fancy formatting, no images, no special fonts. HTML emails, on the other hand, allow for all that extra stuff.
So HTML emails are more visually appealing.
They can be. But plain text emails have their own benefits. They tend to have better deliverability rates. They're less likely to trip spam filters. Plus, they load faster and can feel more personal, like an email from a friend.
So it's a trade-off between looking good and actually reaching people's inboxes.
In a way, yes. But a lot of marketers find a middle ground. They might use a hybrid approach. Start with a plain text email and then add some subtle formatting or branding elements. That way, you get the best of both worlds.
That sounds like a good compromise. It's about finding the right balance for your specific audience and brand. Now, I'm curious about some of the newer trends in email marketing. The guide mentions this thing called AI-powered email marketing. What's that all about?
AI is definitely starting to play a bigger role in email marketing. It's helping marketers automate tasks, personalize messages, and optimize campaigns in ways we couldn't do before.
AI seems to be everywhere these days. So how is it being used in email marketing specifically?
Well, one example is AI-powered subject line generation. There are AI algorithms that can analyze your past email performance and suggest subject lines that are more likely to get opened.
That sounds super helpful. I always struggle to come up with good subject lines.
AI can also help with send time optimization. It analyzes your subscribers' past behavior and predicts the best times to send emails to maximize your open rates.
So we can use AI to make sure our emails are actually landing in inboxes at the best possible time.
Exactly. And it can even help with email frequency optimization. It can learn how often each individual subscriber prefers to receive emails and adjust the frequency accordingly.
That's really cool. It's like having a personal assistant who knows exactly when and how often to contact each person.
Precisely. AI is making email marketing much more personalized and efficient than ever before.
This is making me pretty excited about the future of email marketing.
It's definitely an exciting time to be in this field. There are so many possibilities.
So we've talked about mobile optimization, the whole plain text versus HTML thing, and the rise of AI in email marketing. Are there any other trends we should be aware of?
One trend that's becoming increasingly important is dark mode adaptation.
Dark mode. You mean like the setting on our phones and computers that makes the background dark and the text light?
Exactly. More and more people are switching to dark mode, so it's important to make sure your emails look good in both light mode and dark mode.
I have to admit, I'm a big fan of dark mode. It's so much easier on my eyes.
Me too. And a lot of people feel the same way. So when you're designing your emails, make sure to test them out against both light and dark backgrounds. That way you can be sure they're readable and visually appealing no matter what.
That's a great tip. I'll definitely be keeping that in mind. Wow, we've covered a lot of ground here. From triggered emails and drip campaigns to list hygiene and data analysis, mobile optimization, AI-powered marketing, and even dark mode. It's amazing how much depth there is to email marketing.
It's a constantly evolving field, but the core principles always stay the same. Build relationships, provide value, and respect your subscribers.
Those are good words to live by. In email marketing and just in life in general, I'm feeling a lot more confident about my ability to create a successful email marketing strategy now. Thanks for all the insights.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I could help.
Wow, this deep dive has really opened my eyes to how much there is to email marketing. It's way more than just sending out a newsletter every once in a while.
It really is. Email marketing, when you do it right, can be a powerhouse for growing your business and for building those lasting relationships with your audience.
The guide even got into some of the smaller details, things I hadn't really thought about before, like the whole debate between single opt-in and double opt-in.
Yes, the classic opt-in dilemma. It all comes down to how people actually confirm that they want to be on your email list.
Can you remind me what the difference is? I always get those two mixed up.
Sure. Single opt-in is the simpler way to do it. Someone types their email address into your sign-up form, and boom, they're on your list. Double opt-in adds another step. They sign up, but then they get a confirmation email. There's a link in that email they need to click to actually verify their subscription.
So it's like a double check to make sure they really want to be on the list.
Exactly. And while single opt-in might seem easier and faster on the surface, double opt-in has some real advantages.
Like what?
Well, for one, it helps make sure you're only collecting valid email addresses. That can really improve your deliverability rates and protect your sender reputation. Plus, it reduces the risk of getting spam complaints because people are actively confirming that they want to hear from you. And it can actually lead to a higher quality list overall. You'll have more engaged subscribers because the people who take that extra step to confirm are usually more interested in what you have to offer.
It makes a lot of sense. So even though it adds an extra step, double opt-in is probably the smarter choice in the long run.
In most cases, yes. It's worth that little bit of extra effort to make sure you're building a list of people who are genuinely interested in what you have to say.
Okay, double opt-in it is. Now, something else that's always been a bit of a worry for me is the whole spam folder situation.
Yes, the dreaded spam folder. It's the email marketer's worst nightmare.
Exactly. What are some of the reasons why emails end up in spam? And what can we do to avoid it?
There are a few things that can trigger spam filters. Using certain words or phrases like free money or guaranteed results can set off alarm bells. Having a poor sender reputation, maybe because of high bounce rates or a lot of spam complaints, can also land your emails in the spam folder. And then there are some technical things that can cause problems, like if your authentication records are missing or incorrect. That can make email providers think your emails might not be legitimate.
So it's a mix of things, right? The content, your reputation, and some technical stuff.
Exactly. It's like a three-legged stool. If one leg is weak, the whole thing can fall apart.
So how do we make sure all three legs are strong?
Well, when it comes to content, avoid using spammy language and try not to go overboard with the exclamation points. Focus on providing real value. Information that your subscribers will actually find helpful and interesting.
Okay, so no more screaming in all caps.
Probably a good idea to tone it down a bit, yes. To keep your sender reputation in good shape, make sure you're cleaning your list regularly. Manage those bounces and handle unsubscribes gracefully.
Right, all those list hygiene best practices we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And then on the technical side, you want to double check that your email authentication records are set up correctly. Things like SPF and DKIM. These records basically help verify that your emails are actually coming from you and not from some scammer pretending to be you.
That sounds a little technical. Do I need to be a computer whiz to figure that out?
Don't worry. Most email service providers have tools and guides that can walk you through it. It's worth taking the time to get this right. It can make a big difference in your deliverability.
Okay, I'll definitely look into that. So we've covered spam prevention. What about how often we should be emailing our list? How often is too often?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Unfortunately, there's no magic answer that works for everyone. The ideal frequency really depends on your audience, your industry, and the kind of content you're sending.
I've heard some people say you should email every single day, while others say you should take a more relaxed approach. What do you think?
It's all about finding that sweet spot. You don't want to bombard people with too many emails and annoy them, but you also don't want to disappear for so long that they forget about you.
So how do we find that balance?
A good starting point is to think about what your subscribers expect. If they signed up for daily deals or updates, then emailing them daily might make sense. But if they're more interested in monthly insights or occasional promotions, then a less frequent approach might be better.
So we need to make sure our email frequency aligns with the expectations we set when people sign up.
Exactly. And always keep an eye on your engagement metrics. If you suddenly see a lot of unsubscribes or a drop in open rates after you increase your frequency, it could be a sign that you're emailing too much.
So it's a bit of trial and error. But we should always be paying attention to how our subscribers are reacting.
Absolutely. Data is your friend.
The guide also had some advice specifically for e-commerce businesses, which I found really helpful since I have an online shop myself.
Ah, yes. E-commerce email marketing has its own unique set of challenges and opportunities.
What are some of the key things e-commerce businesses should focus on with their email marketing?
Well, the main goal is to drive sales. So you want to track metrics like conversion rate, average order value, and revenue per email. That way you can see how your email campaigns are contributing to your bottom line.
So it's not just about getting people to open the emails and click on links. It's about actually getting them to buy something.
Exactly. And you can also use email to enhance the customer experience. Send personalized product recommendations, offer exclusive discounts, provide helpful shipping updates. All those things can keep customers engaged and coming back for more.
Those kinds of emails would definitely be valuable to me as a customer.
They absolutely can be. And don't forget about abandoned cart emails. Those are essential for e-commerce businesses.
Right, we talked about those earlier.
Yeah.
Those are the emails that automatically go out when someone adds stuff to their cart but doesn't actually finish the purchase.
Exactly. Abandoned cart emails are super effective at recovering lost sales. You can remind people what they left behind, maybe offer a little discount as a nudge, or just give them some reassurance about things like shipping costs or return policies.
It's all about removing those last-minute obstacles that might be preventing them from buying.
Exactly. Another important thing for e-commerce businesses is to use email to build loyalty.
Okay, how do we do that?
You can create a loyalty program, you know, reward customers for making repeat purchases, send your most loyal customers exclusive discounts and early access to sales, and use email to get feedback and reviews. It shows that you value their input and want to give them a great experience.
I like that. It's about going beyond those purely transactional emails and really building a sense of community and appreciation for your customers.
Exactly. And those strong relationships can really pay off in the long run.
The guide also had some interesting ideas about handling inactive subscribers. That's something I've been struggling with a bit.
Inactive subscribers can be tricky. You don't want to keep emailing them if they're not interested, but you also don't want to just give up on them entirely.
So what's the best way to handle them?
Don't throw in the towel too quickly. Try a re-engagement campaign first. Remind them why you're valuable. Offer them a special incentive. Or just simply ask if they still want to be on your list.
I like the idea of giving them a chance to reconnect before you write them off completely.
Exactly. But if they still don't engage after a re-engagement campaign, it's probably best to let them go. It keeps your list clean, it helps your deliverability rates, and it prevents your engagement metrics from being thrown off by people who aren't actually interested.
It's kind of like pruning a garden, right? Get rid of the dead stuff so the healthy plants can thrive.
That's a great way to put it.
Now, here's something I found particularly interesting. Using chatbots and social media to collect email addresses.
Oh, yeah. That's a smart way to expand your reach and engage with potential subscribers on the platforms where they already spend their time.
So how does that actually work?
Well, you can set up chatbots on your website or your social media pages. Have them ask visitors if they want to sign up for your email list. You can also run contests or giveaways on social media. Make entering their email address part of the entry process.
That's clever. It's all about meeting people where they are and making it super easy for them to join your email list.
Exactly. Just remember to be transparent about how you're going to use their email address and make sure you get their consent before adding them to your list.
Right. Data privacy is always super important. It's been amazing to explore all these different aspects of email marketing with you. I feel like I've learned so much.
I'm happy to hear that. Email marketing, when it's done strategically, is far from dead. It's constantly evolving, and there's so much potential for connecting with your audience and building a successful business.
I completely agree. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to highlight one big takeaway that really stuck with me. It's not just about the tech or the tactics. It's about building real, genuine connections with the people on your list.
That's a fantastic point. Think about your own inbox for a second. What emails do you actually open? What makes those emails stand out from the crowd?
That's a really good question. I think the emails I enjoy reading the most are the ones that feel personal and relevant, like they're actually talking to me, not just blasting out a generic message to a mass audience.
Exactly. That's the kind of experience you should aim to create for your own subscribers.
So to everyone listening out there, I highly recommend checking out the full guide from Reach Marketing. It's got even more insights and actionable tips than we had time to cover today.
And remember, email marketing is a journey, not a destination. So experiment, analyze your results, and keep refining your approach to find what works best for you and your audience.
That's great advice. And never underestimate the power of a well-crafted email. It just might be the key to unlocking amazing possibilities for your business.